Welcome to the Clarity Advisor Show, where you'll learn how to grow your team today. Join Ken Trupke and his guests as they discuss what works and doesn't work to grow your team in today's world. And now, your host, Ken Trupke.
Hello, and welcome to the Clarity Advisor Show. If you want to build a team and a culture of continuous improvement where getting better every day in a way you can measure is literally just how your team works. If you want to build a team that's high performing and, I don't know, in a pandemic, can pivot in a way to start producing new products. Well, today's guest has been there and done that. Phil Sponsler has worked at a specialized manufacturing company in Jackson, Michigan for over 20 years, running it for the past 14. Phil built that team and directed things for the last several years, and he is joining us today from retirement. He recently stepped down as president, and he's going to share some hard-earned wisdom. Welcome, Phil Sponsler.
Well, I'm really glad to be here, Ken. This is, you reached out a few days ago and said, hey, would you want to do this? And I couldn't say yes fast enough, because I do think that leadership is something that has to be cultivated and grown, and that great leaders end up being providing safety and security for their folks.
Yeah, for sure. And there's, I've known Phil for a number of years now, and there's so many things we could talk about. We could talk about how he converted the sales team to be super high performing and pivoted how they thought about their sales team and the roles within that team. We can talk about how he's led and the culture that he built. And we'll talk mostly about that. We could talk about some of the products they've introduced and just leadership in general. Phil is a wealth of knowledge. So today we're going to stay focused, if we can, on building and growing those teams and how you've done that and maybe some of the lessons you've learned over the years. So let's just start there. What are some of the lessons, either good or bad, that stick out in your mind as you look back over not only the 14 years that you were the president, but maybe even just over the whole 22 where you were with Orbitform?
Well, that's a great question, and it's a great lead-in. It has several major tactics or things, strategies that you can do. First off, you need to be a reader. There's a tremendous amount of thought leaders out there that are in leadership, and you know, one that I really like is Mark Dietering out of Minnesota. He created Leading Jesus's Way, and that is totally associated with servant leadership. Look, we are all human beings. And so the team is built of human beings, not robots. So there's three things that people want. They want to know that they're safe and secure. They want to know that they're appreciated. And then the third thing is, which a lot of people don't get, is they want to somebody to care about their career. And that's where, you know, if you can ring the bell on all three items there, then you have a fighting unit that of individuals that, you know, feel secure, they feel appreciated, and they know that we are pushing and helping them grow their careers, that we care about them. So you have to love and care for your folks. And then you have to be very disciplined in your approach and consistent. So I'd have to say that that's probably foundational.
Yeah, absolutely. So safe is maybe the word. It caught my attention, and maybe the listeners too will think, how does that work? So tell me some do's and don'ts about having people feel safe.
I'll point it right out is that, you know, people come to work and they're spending 8 to 10, sometimes 12 hours there and stuff. And they definitely don't want to be working with bullies and jerks. So at Orbitform, we have a no jerks allowed rule. Okay. So the quickest way to, you know, and I'm going to say Orbitform because I've only been retired for 5 weeks, but at Orbitform, jerks stood out, and we knew right away if it was a mishire, you know, then they would be ushered out. And then also, even as we were transitioning and growing our culture, there were several people that were critical to the organization. And, you know, we just figured that we were better off, that poison was better off on the outside working for somebody else than working with our team. You start to remove those type of individuals. The next thing you know, people feel freer to say things and voice their opinions and stuff. And then obviously safety is safe and secure is you gotta provide a clean and safe, physically safe environment. As if you're, and I always took it on to myself, is what I want my daughters, one of my four daughters, to be working in this place, and would I have any worry at all about their physical safety in that place? And so, you know, that's what that means.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's both the physical safety and that emotional safety. I love the no jerks rule, and yeah, that works so well. And it's sometimes you don't appreciate how stifling the environment having somebody like that in your organization until they're gone. And then in my experience, we always hear stories like, oh yeah, did you know this was going on? And like, no, I didn't, but I'm glad we made that move. But it's a big deal.
You know, we started something in 2004. We started it before that. And it was called, it first started off as bench strengthening and then process. And then it went into organizational strengthening. And its complexity is in its simplicity. So we started off with, over Christmas, you know, I sat down and I looked at all the risk to the business and I wrote out a list, 17 of them. And I put it into an Excel spreadsheet. We graphed it. We bonused the senior leadership on getting, you know, these countermeasures in place on these risks. And we completed 14 out of the 17. And so that year over year over year, and that went into prima donna backups, you know, where people, only one person in the company could do something.
Sure.
And so then we sat there and said, okay, who else can learn or be trained in that process? It took about 3 years for the prima donna people to understand we weren't trying to replace them. Yeah. What we were trying to do was free them up so they could do greater things.
Sure.
And about year three, we started to hit a good tick. Final thing, 2021 to 2022, we had about 65 line items going into the minutia.
Yeah.
And we had countermeasures or growth ideas and things on that order to strengthen orbit form. And I want to tell you that trend over time has been one of the pinnacle things that we did to make orbit form a secure place to work.
Fantastic. So as I hear you cascading that down and getting that list bigger and bigger and more detailed, talk a little bit about how you took that from your position, you know, from an org chart standpoint anyway, kind of at the top, right, down to your senior leaders, down to the next level of leaders, and ultimately all the way down to everybody in the organization. Just how did you mechanically go about doing that? So if there's leaders out there that have a big team and want to cascade things like that out there, what was your approach, and maybe some good ideas and again, some bad ideas of what didn't work to get that down to all those levels?
I love this type of conversation, Ken, because, you know, it forces me to think about, you know, how did that happen?
How did I do that?
Yeah. And so, you know, one of the major things, first off, is you have to have valid street cred purpose and values. And then you got to live by them. And, you know, at Orbiform, we had best returns and security for our stakeholders. And, you know, you hear that and you go, okay, security, what does that mean? So security for your employees is, you know, is Orbiform going to be, you know, here and working? It's been designed as a perpetual business going into Gen 2, 3, 4, 5 of the ownership. Those are the plans. And, but then also security for themselves. You know, we grew their careers, we have the intentional career growth process, and we call it the ICG, and it's portrayed on a spider graph and Excel spreadsheet. So people grow their careers as fast as they can. And we wanted it to be that people could go anywhere and work and be at extreme value, but they chose to work at Orbit Form. So grow them to their very best version and be on that path. And then if they choose, if we didn't have a career growth thing for them at Orbit Form, you know, and they chose to go someplace else to grow their career, we shook their hands and blessed them and said, you know, this is great stuff. So how do we cascade it down? First off, great senior leadership. You have to have a servant leadership type attitude and mentality, mm-hmm. and you just have to be sincere, great people. So senior leader, everything flows from senior leadership. And then we created in 2017, we found that the senior leadership was so overworked with so many direct reports, pretty flat organization. What we did is we created the mid-level managers, mid-level leaders, I want to call them. And we started to grow them in their leadership. Some didn't make it. You know, some couldn't get the servant leader. Some people, you know, bowed out when we explained what it was. They said, you know, I'm fine where I'm at. I don't want to drink from that cup. And so that was good stuff to find out. And,
Yeah. I was going to ask you, it's sometimes easy to say, well, start with a strong senior leadership team. Well, you had to get to a strong leadership team. So yeah. There must have been some transitions in there. So yeah, it's interesting to hear some people bowed out. What about the people that needed to bow out that didn't get it, but didn't? And maybe you had to have conversations with them. Talk about that a little bit, because selecting the right people we know is key, but how do we actually go about doing that as leaders?
Well, you know, being a leader, you have to have a high level of courage. And, you know, courage to do the right things. And that's where it comes back to, you know, the purpose and values are a guide, but they're also, you know, a great, great, great item to lean on when you have to make the heavy and hard decisions. I made two decisions that to terminate somebody's two key employees, and it took less than a minute. Less than a minute to make the decision, because I just asked one question: do these people represent our purpose and values? Mm-hmm. And they didn't.
Yep.
And they were egregious errors that they made. And so, you know, there that takes courage, because you sit there and go, oh my gosh, we've got to run the business tomorrow too. So I'd have to say that we have a lot of courage at Orbit Form. And I think that I don't know if there's a courage indice, but if you're somebody that doesn't like conflict or whatever in that, then you need to get it. You need to be able to make those tough decisions. And here's why, because the greater good is at risk. Mm-hmm. And that's why the purpose, when you care about people's security and the business security and the security for your customers that you want to be here and stuff, you can't, there's no place for the cup to pass. You have to take a drink from that cup. And so I'd have to say courage is probably one of the biggest attributes.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. I appreciate that. I want to get you back to the story I interrupted you from. So you've got senior leaders, made some of these changes to get the right senior leaders. Now you're finding that they're a little bit overworked. So you're trying to spread that load. So could tell me the next couple steps to, again, get it down to everybody in the company.
Well, we went to 15 mid-level leaders. And these were, you know, working leadership. So we did do some supervisor training that was put on from the Jackson Area Manufacturing Association. Fantastic. You know, people came back from that and said, yeah, you know. So, and we did that, you know, like level one, level two, level three. We did that in doses. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, senior leadership was, you know, consistent and not, it wasn't shifting sand for these 15 people. You know, these were the boundaries that we were in. And so they were able to grow themselves along with the mentorship, and that's what the ICG or the intentional career growth actually does. It's a mentoring process. And I want to talk about mentoring at some time during this discussion.
Okay, good enough.
So the thing is, when you have a leader, a new leader or whatever, and they have a mentor and they have, you know, the safety to be able to explore, make mistakes, you know, correct, mm-hmm. do this sort of stuff. All of a sudden, you know, it's stratospheric, because now what we have is we have, you know, 7 senior leaders at Orbit Forum, and then we have this 13 or 15 people that are and everybody is aligned. Mm-hmm. They're aligned with the purpose and the values. Yeah, that's huge power.
I'm with you. Alignment and engagement are two things I talk about all the time when I'm working with folks, because it's so critical. If we've got to be moving in the same direction, for sure.
Is your business where you want it to be or on track to get there? Clarity Advisors helps business leaders improve communication and get your team aligned and engaged for greater success. We specialize in helping you streamline your sales and operating systems to improve efficiency and grow your profits. Call or text Ken at 616-822-2998 to have a complimentary 12-minute call to see what some clarity could do for you.
So I teased at the beginning about how you guys pivoted during the pandemic. I think people are interested in hearing about that because it's all still relatively fresh for people. People are still feeling repercussions for that. So take me back to 2020. Things are starting to change in the state of Michigan. We're starting to shut things down, whether we wanted to or not. And you've got a team of people that need to change what we're doing. And so talk about that, because you guys literally introduced new products during that time, and you didn't just survive, but you guys figured out how to thrive.
Well, our story goes all the way back to 2011 when we came out of the recession and that sort of stuff. And I had the Gone with the Wind's Tara moment where she says, as God is my witness, I'll never be hungry again. And, you know, I had that same moment where I said, you know, I'm an operations and engineer and, you know, president of the place, but I wasn't a sales expert. And, you know, you had to understand that revenue was what fed the beast. And so I had that moment where I said, as God is my witness, we're never going to let that happen to us again. And so we terminated 3 big customers that we had that were not in line with our principles. Mm-hmm. We turned that energy towards new products. And since then, new or greatly enhanced products. We took all that energy. We're trying to satiate the devil. And, you know, we turned it towards ourselves and we created recurring revenue. Mm-hmm. And that recurring revenue has added millions of dollars of profitable business to Orbit Forum in a standard product offering. You know, in so in 2011, you know, our sales force, we had 21 manufacturer reps, 14 of them weren't aligned with Orbit Forum. We had to terminate them. Wow. And we kept 7, and we had 5 internal people, and we started to grow the system. We relied on Justin Rothmarsh's The Machine, which is a sales engineered process. And we wanted to have salespeople in front of the customer face to face. And so in that time, the 7 manufacturer reps, our 5 intern, we had 300 face to face customer engagements that were loaded into the CRM that we internally created, our own CRM, which is about 60% of sales force and about 100% better. It's awesome. And so, but we saw 300 in 2011, and we saw 24,000 in 2016. So we had a diametric change in our sales approach, and we started to grow the business and stuff. So now we're going into 2020. We got this machine chewing along, just happening, and you know, all of a sudden we couldn't go, you know, March 2020, we couldn't go see anybody.
Can't go face to face. Yeah, for sure.
Within 48 hours, we had 95% of the whole front office working from home. And that meant the sales too. Sales couldn't travel. And within 1 to 2 weeks, we were seeing about 50 face-to-face contacts on average a week. And in 2 weeks, I'll have to say that we started in between 30 and 50 virtual meetings a week with our customers. So we turned on a dime. Yeah. And even though people were frightened and weren't, you know, just almost paralyzed and that sort of stuff, what it did was we did that all the way through 2020. In 2021, when things started to happen and that sort of stuff, and people saw that, you know, okay, there's an end game to this process, we had unbelievable pent-up leads and stuff that we capitalized on in the start of 2021.
Yeah. Yeah. Now tell me about that. You guys developed actually a new product in that time too, right? I mean, like total pivot.
Yeah. So, and I just want to give a shout out to the owner of the business, Mike Shirky, who's setting up this generational business. And, you know, I've worked with Mike since 2000 and, you know, he said, you know, we're not going to sit on our hands. We've got to do something to help. And so we created the ultraviolet or UV sanitizer machine that you could put N95 mask into, about a dozen of them. You could put, and then with a high intensity UV process, you could sanitize them to, I think, you know, to a high level. So, yeah.
But you guys weren't in healthcare yet, right? And this is a company. So the listeners understand this is a company that's making essentially machine tools and vertical integration for automated manufacturing, taking a hard left and going, we're going to make UV, but we've got equipment and tools and people. What could we make that would help? And you make UV sanitizers.
That's crazy. It was designed, it's a cabinet, you know, and probably, you know, whatever, a little bit of a cabinet that you could fit 12 masks into. We designed it over a weekend. 4 days later, we had a prototype operational that we were trying. And 11, so that was phase Gen 1. Gen 2 was done 11 days later with a whole bunch of enhancements. And we made about, you know, 60 or 70 of them. Yeah. And, you know, and nurses were having to put their mask in, you know, N95 mask into a bag and then put it in their locker or whatever, and then use that same mask again. And if you've ever, everybody's experienced a mask. And so to think that they're using that for 7 to 10 days, 12 hours a day, you know, the type of yuck that is, that's the thing that the owner said, we got to fix.
Yeah.
Mike Shirky. So Mike Shirky has fit the visionary role of Orbit Form for so many years. And, you know, I would be considered the integrator visionary, you know, after he went up to into politics since 2008.
Yeah. So is it fair to say, Phil, would you characterize this fair characterization to say you had built credibility and a team structure and made clear what was important and what mattered and what didn't and what was going to keep you on the team and help you thrive on the team and what would get you off the team? You've been doing that for years and years and years. And now 2020 comes along and now you've got the team that you've brought up this down this path and now they're able to make this hard left and create a new product. Is that a good summary of kind of what happened?
Yeah. And I think that it's on a foundation that, you know, we have very, very, very little turnover. And, you know, people love and care for Orbit Form. When I came in 2000, I was looking for a place where we could make a culture where people in hockey terms, they'd be ready to drop gloves if somebody said something bad about Orbit Form. And, you know, that's the type of attitude. And we've got a great, you know, reputation in the community. And, you know, and it's based on a foundation of loving and caring for our employees, the team.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And, you know, I think the world of you and what you've done at Orbit Form and the Shirkies as well, and that the company culture that you've built, there's just so many good things that you've done there and that the Shirkies have done, and what a great organization. Before we wrap, though, I want to if I can get you to zero it down to just one thing, what's the biggest lesson or encouragement that you could give to leaders today, especially young leaders who are maybe a little shaken coming off, you know, they're just getting started in their careers and all of a sudden they get hit with this pandemic, which is shaking everybody up, but without maybe that strong foundation in 20 years of history, what's your best advice for them to how to think about their team, to build and grow that team now, knowing what we know and what we've been through?
Well, I hope they got their notepads out, pen and paper ready, because here's the idea is that first off, I would search out a good mentor. You know, I would paint, what does good look like? What do you want to be? And then I would sit there and create a list of attributes and stuff. And I'd say, who in my life or who do I know that would want to mentor me, care and love and you know, be invested in me? And they need to do their research on what it means to be a good mentee. That's not just a one-way street. There are a tremendous amount of people that want to leave a legacy with great, smart, intelligent young people. And but here's the other side of it is, you know, it's not something where you just sit back and you receive. You have to do some work. So the work is you have to grow your mind. And I think if you're going to be a leader, there's just fundamental books that you need to read. I think Jocko Wilkins' Extreme Ownership is a great book. I love the book, which was a great leadership book, but isn't touted as one, is We Were Soldiers Once and Young, written by Colonel Moore. You read that book and you see what a leader is. And the other, the books, Bob Berg's book, The Go-Giver.
Oh, yeah.
The Go-Giver Leader, The Go-Giver Sells More.
Yep.
And then there's The Culture Code that you should do. And there's a plethora of other books. And I'm going to go ahead and say that probably one of the greatest leadership books is, Servant or Leading Jesus's Way, which is based on Jesus's life. He's one of the greatest servant leaders ever. And even in the Old Testament has tremendous leadership attributes that you can pull stories from and related in that area. So read, learn, take your cliff notes, your flashcards, create you what you want to be. And then I would start to look at, the eternal Atomic Habits is a great book, because you have to be disciplined and create your own mantra, your own rhythm that you take care of yourself and you take care of your folks. And so those are probably some of the biggest items. And from there, you can build out, you know, everybody talks about, you know, having a networking process. Well, be somebody that people want to network with you, you know?
Yeah, there you go. The person the person is looking for is looking for, right? Yeah. You got to be that person first, for sure.
Yeah. And there's no magic bullet, you know, there's no magic wand. I almost forgot this one book, Angela Duckworth's book, Grit.
Grit. Oh yeah.
Take the grit test. See where you're at. You know, she has the first 100 pages is associated with defining grit and doing the grit. The second 200 pages is, you know, how do you foster grit? And then the last 300 our last 100 pages is associated with, as a parent, how do you grow grit in your children? Mm-hmm. And so it's just a phenomenal book, and know that you can grow your grit.
Yeah. Yeah. And how important it is. Yeah, for sure.
Well, number one indice of somebody being successful is their grit level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, well, listen, Phil, appreciate the conversation. We'll link to those books in the show notes. But if somebody wanted to reach out with you, you may have retired, but I know you are not sitting still. You're on some advisory boards and you've got some coaching going on. You're a busy guy. And I love that you're taking this time and this season in your life to pour wisdom into folks. So how can people reach out if they wanted to get a hold of you or connect with you? What's the best way to get you?
Well, I think for right now, my email address is still psponsler@orbitforum.com. And I'll have that for, you know, for quite a while to come. And then I'll probably convert over to another email address in the future. But for right now, that's probably the best. And then my cell phone number is 517-206-8217.
Excellent. Well, Phil, again, I appreciate so much this conversation and just your friendship over the years. And it won't be the last time we talk. Appreciate you sharing everything that you did today. And take care and stay in touch. And to everybody listening, thanks so much for listening. I hope you took a ton of notes. You're going to want to go back and re-listen to some of these parts. Phil was really on a roll with a number of things so valuable, including that book list. So thanks so much for listening. And we'll see you next time on the Clarity Advisor Show. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Clarity Advisor Show. Clarity Advisors is a speaking, training, and consulting firm specializing in helping you simplify your sales and operating systems to improve efficiency and grow your profits. Connect with Clarity Advisors today to learn more about how they can help you improve communication and get your team aligned and engaged for greater success.